Thank you very much, Teresa. And before I started today, I did want to mention that we are down one presenter today. Dr. Tom Berger, who is going to be joining us from the Vietnam Veterans of America, was unfortunately unable to make the trip due to illness from Washington, D.C. So he sends his regards to all of you and said that he would happily provide any follow-up information that you all may want or need from either the Vietnam Veterans of America perspective, or he's also the executive director for the Veterans Health Council, which I'll be talking about a little bit later in my presentation. So I figured my job today was to really just set the stage for my three colleagues that are going to follow here in the presentation and the panel for this afternoon. I want to talk a little bit about Men's Health Network, kind of why we're interested in this topic, why we believe that we can be a community resource and a valued partner to really implement something that could look into really the need for off-base reacclimational services for military men, women, and their families. So with that, I wanted to start off just explaining a little bit of kind of who I am, who the organization is, and some of the community outreach work and partnerships that we've developed that hopefully can set the stage for my three colleagues who will follow here in the panel session. So first, I have no relationships to disclose, and I honestly, I did want to say two thank yous. And one of the folks I wanted to thank was actually here on the panel, Jennifer Cabe from Canyon Ranch Institute, and her colleague, Dr. Carmona, for really assisting Men's Health Network and my colleague, Sal, who's at the end of the table, with really putting together the vision, the passion, showing their interest and their support for this concept that we'll hopefully talk a little bit about later today. So Jennifer, thank you so much for your commitment and your interest. And thank you so much for joining us today. And I also wanted to thank Jennifer and Dr. Carmona for helping us connect with Captain Jerry Farrell, who's with the Commissioned Officers Association, who welcomed us to their U.S. Public Health Service Scientific Symposium in May in San Diego to first really talk about this de-stress zone concept that Dr. Giorgiani will talk about later on in the panel. So really, what is Men's Health Network? We're a national nonprofit organization. We were founded in 1992, and our mission is to really reach out to men and their families where they live, work, play, and pray. And really what we found early on was that men weren't coming to us naturally when it came to health, so we really needed to bring it to them in environments that they trust and that they're comfortable. And many of the things that you'll see me talk about today, I really believe have parallels between what we've experienced with men and their families and also what we've experienced with military men, women, and their families, both active duty as well as veterans. So just kind of be thinking about it in that lens as I speak today. So just want to talk really briefly about some of our programs. We kind of have four pillars. So within that live, work, play, and pray model, we have a workplace initiative, which is called our Men at Work program, where we work with a lot of large corporate employers across the U.S., like John Deere, Harley Davidson, Anheuser-Busch, UPS, and we're reaching men, women, and their families, as well as active duty military, as well as veterans as well, through a lot of that outreach, because we're often working with the Lockheeds, the Boeings, the Booz Allens, and others, so reaching the civilian contractors, veterans that have gone and gone back into the private industry and workforce. So we're often engaging with both men, women, and their families in a variety of different methods. The Healthy Sunday Initiative is going out into African American and Hispanic and Latino churches to recognizing that pastors, health ministries, and parish nurses play such an important role when it comes to health and wellness in our country. And I think they provide a unique vehicle for us to really reach many, whether we're talking military or non-military folks across the country. I'll talk a little bit later about our work with the sports and entertainment franchises, but we have an exciting event coming up this weekend, actually in recognition of Veterans Day, that I wanted to talk a little bit more about and hope that maybe that could serve as a community-based model for a lot of work that we're potentially looking to do moving forward. So just to give you an idea about our network, we have chapters, affiliates, and partners in all 50 states and 30 countries. And my hope is that national network and global network can really serve as a base to also kind of bring folks together, leverage a lot of these community relationships, looking into coalition building opportunities and other pieces. So I just really wanted to focus on these three areas moving forward today with the talk. So I'm sorry to bore you with the men's health facts. I just figured it's my job working for Men's Health Network to kind of hit you with the data and statistics as we move forward here. I'll go really quick. You can see them here. On average, men are living about 5 years less than our female counterparts. The guys are leading in 9 out of the top 10 causes of death. 1 in 2 women, 1 in 3, excuse me, 1 in 2 men and 1 in 3 women in their lifetime will be diagnosed with cancer. And then of particular interest here is the preventive health-seeking behavior. A CDC report showed that women are actually 100% more likely to seek preventive health care than their female counterparts. Here's a quick look at life expectancy. You can see a further point about the leading and top 10 causes of death. And then one of the points I'd like to raise, whether we're talking about military men, women, and families, or non-military men, women, and families, is really this burden as men and women enter retirement. And what we found is actually an Administration on Aging and a U.S. Census Bureau work found that as women enter the retirement years of 65 to 69, if they marry a man their same age, essentially 15% of them are going to be widowed by the time they reach that age period of 65 to 69. And then going further than that, they also showed that more than half of the elderly women now living in poverty were not so before the death of their husband. So I say that just kind of further making the point about that premature death and disability of men and what that means for our families and our society. So why do I believe that Men's Health Network, whether it's our channels, our outreach, or our network efforts, could really help in this project that we're going to be talking about here later as we go throughout this presentation? So some of the communication channels I've already mentioned where we focus. So the employer segment, the faith-based community, we work a lot with the federally qualified health centers across the country in terms of serving as a resource center and an information point, a lot with sports and entertainment franchises. I'm proud to serve, as Teresa mentioned, on the board of the Veterans Health Council Foundation, which is an organization that's really come together to talk about the unique ways that all of our different organizations and associations across this country who care about military men, women, and families can work together to better address those issues. We work a lot with healthcare providers, whether you're talking about the nurse practitioners, oncology nurses, family docs, pharmacists, Rotary International, Masonic, fraternal organizations, and sports leagues. So my hope here is, in trying to paint this picture, is that hopefully that we're reaching both military and non-military men, women, and families in a variety of different communications channels, outreach mechanisms through our outreach across the country. So what are some of the ways that we're touching folks? So social media is one of them. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, MySpace have certainly been very popular here in recent terms. Some of the other ways in which you can clearly see other channels to reach military men, women, and families, I just kind of listed them here and didn't want to go in too much detail, but you see the Suicide Prevention Lifeline, Military OneSource, the wonderful resources that IAVA has, the Suicide Prevention Action Network, and then SAMHSA also has some wonderful resources and materials. And I guess I bring this up in my hope that, you know, Men's Health Network could kind of be a catalyst to really bring a lot of these resources together and maybe be a coordinating and central point for a lot of the great work that's going on across the country. And what are some of the unique awareness periods, for example, that we could use to get the word out and to really build the foundation for a campaign or a potential project? You can see here that May is National Mental Health Month, June is Men's Health Month, September Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and then we have Veterans Day coming up this Thursday, November 11th. So when you think of, and I don't want to steal too much of Jennifer's thunder about communication channels and opportunities, here are just some national awareness periods that I figured would be worth us thinking and talking about today. So I wanted to talk about the Veterans Health Council because I think it might provide a unique opportunity as we further the discussion today. This effort was actually formed by the Vietnam Veterans of America, and that's why I really felt it was so critical to have Dr. Tom Berger here to talk about it. Men's Health Network was one of the initial members of the group, and really the charge and the mission is to improve healthcare for veterans by really creating an ongoing forum for discussion and recognizing the fact that due to military service, men and women both experience certain injuries, maladies, diseases, and issues related to their service. So what are those many challenges? How can we work together? And you'll see that the composition of the Veterans Health Council is very diverse. You have provider associations, patient associations, you have industry, you have government agencies. It's a very diverse group. And then why is the Veterans Health Council so necessary? When you look at the data, it suggests that about 75 to 80% of veterans are not currently taking advantage of the VA services that are out there. So the Veterans Health Council charge is to really help connect military veterans with the services that already exist within the VA system. And you can visit the Veterans Health Council online at www.veteranshealth.org for some more information. So I wanted to talk about the Time Out for Veterans Health initiative that we have coming up in the Washington, D.C. area market this Saturday, November 13th. And what it is we actually worked with the Washington Redskins to about 4 years ago now to create a overall health and wellness platform. And it's extremely unique for a couple of reasons. First, it's a public, private, and nonprofit partnership. You have Men's Health Network, you have 13 veteran service organizations, you have an NFL football team, you have a private industry in GlaxoSmithKline, and you have other community health partners like the American Diabetes and American Heart Association, all coming together to better serve veterans on this day at FedEx Field. So as I mentioned, it's at FedEx. It's actually hosted in the players' locker room. So when we talked about the challenges of bringing people together, whether we're talking military men, women, and families, or non-military, what kind of atmospheres and environments can we create that are going to be welcoming to people or be a place that they want to come to learn more about their health and well-being? And it's been great. The first year was 2008. We had 700 veterans and their families participate. Last year in 2009, we had 1,000 veterans and their families participate. And hopefully we're on track for a bigger turnout for this year. So we're very excited about it because it really is a comprehensive health and education and screening experience. We offer cholesterol, glucose, blood pressure, prostate, spirometry, osteoporosis, digital rectal exam, health education. So when you think of everything that you want to try and catch someone with to provide a free service, we kind of seem to have a lot of it there for them all at that one time. The VA does participate and they come out and talk about the benefits and services and different communications opportunities that they have available. We have the ROTC students coming to participate. Representative Donna Edwards from PG County in Maryland has come and supported the effort. We've had many other congressmen, women, and their staff come out and participate. We have Xbox for the kids, so when the veterans bring out their families, you have a built-in opportunity for their children to go out and have something fun to do while their parents are taking advantage of the free health screening effort. We have healthy snacks and beverages, and I guess this bullet here may be the biggest draw, is we have the cheerleaders and the Hoggettes come out as well to support the military veterans and their families. We have the disabled American veterans come with their mobile vehicle, which has some wonderful resources, and we've also in the past provided transportation from the metro to assist people from the subway system to be able to get to the event. And I also wanted to talk about some of these other fantastic support initiatives that veteran service organizations are providing all across the country. You can see here, I just wanted to provide a list that certainly Men's Health Network's not alone. Certainly none of these organizations are alone. There's a lot of wonderful things going on for military men, women, and families across the country. And our hope is with this specific focus on stress, anxiety, and mental health, that we can somehow really bring all these wonderful endeavors that are happening currently together to support this critical issue. So what have we done to date? And I really wanted to set the stage for Dr. Sal Giorgiani's presentation at the end. We announced the De-Stress Zone project concept last year at APHA in Philadelphia, where we had talked about the epidemic of suicide among U.S. veterans, really looking into further, is it a myth or is it a reality? It was hosted on November 10th, and really it was the feedback from you all in the audience that had really given us that fire and that passion to take this next step and to further flush out the De-Stress Zone project and concept. What we also have initiated since that Teresa had mentioned is we formed a Men's Health Caucus within the American Public Health Association to really give us an additional forum to address and talk about a lot of these issues. And the Men's Health Caucus, I think, can be a unique vehicle moving forward to support both this concept as well as sessions just like this moving forward. I'm serving as the chair currently. My colleague, Dr. Sal Giorgiani, is the chair-elect moving forward. And many of the folks that are here in the room today, Steve Petty, who's over here on my left, serves as treasurer. Teresa is the membership and communications chair. So we have a lot of leaders that are very interested in helping to move this topic forward. We then took that next step to go out to Tucson and sit down with the good folks at Canyon Ranch, including Dr. Carmona and Jennifer, who's here with us today, in February of 2010, and really look to hone in on this project scoping document that we had shared with them ahead of time, and their feedback was so very valuable in terms of where do we go next and how do we really take these core messages and laser target them so that we're actually reaching the population that we need to reach more effectively. And then, as I mentioned earlier, in May, we had gone to the U.S. Public Health Service Scientific Symposium in May to present and talk about this initial concept that we had flushed out and worked with here. So what are some of the strategic directions moving forward? I really believe that there's some value around terming and coining the term resiliency. I really think when we're talking about stress, anxiety, and mental health issues, I think the word resiliency gives a lot of power and some potential for us moving forward. I think the more that we can talk about building healthy families rather than dividing, say, military men's health or military women's health or just family health or children's health, I think this all needs to be brought together about how we can support family health to improve the stress, anxiety, and mental health issues that our military men, women, and families are facing. I think you all as public health professionals and the provider community are a very unique and very important part of this concept moving forward. And then finally, this is actually an initiative that's been led by the Veterans Health Council, is they wanted every provider moving forward that when any man or woman comes into, say, a provider's office, that they would be asked, have you served in the military? And then that could key them in to ask some more targeted questions about their military service, therefore hopefully leading to maybe picking up some of the different conditions or diseases that they may be at risk for, given their military service. And here's my contact. Thank you so much for your time and attention.